Thank you for coming out on a postponement rain date. Appreciate the flexibility. What I'd like to do this evening is to look at just a number of very interesting lessons to be taken from a very perplexing story. One of the most famous stories that we learn from the youngest of ages, yet probably one of the stories we understand the least about. And that is the story of Yaakov's struggle with the man, as the Torah calls him. Vayeavek ish imo. The man who Rashi, quoting Chazal, identifies as the Sar Shel Esav, the angel of Esav, struggles or wrestles with Yaakov. And we're going to try to just extract a couple of lessons from this very puzzling story. What is the meaning of some of the more puzzling components of the story? So let's begin with source number one, just to see some of the psukim. The beginning psukim describing the story. Pasuk Chafhei, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, Yaakov is left all alone. Vayeavek ish imo, and a man wrestles or struggles with him, ad alos hashachar, until dawn. So apparently nothing happens until dawn. It's an ongoing match. It's an even match. It's a tit for tat, punch for punch, kick for kick, whatever they're doing. Apparently there's no one coming out on top. Ongoing struggle. And then a pasuk chavav, vayar ki lo yacholo. Finally, after all that time, struggling, wrestling for hours, whatever it was, the ish, this mysterious person, realizes that he's unable to overcome, overpower Yaakov. And therefore, what does he do? Vayiga bekaf yerecho. So he touches Yaakov by the thigh, right where the socket of the thigh bone is. Bateka kafyerach Yaakov behe'ofko imo. And Yaakov's thigh is dislocated due to the struggle with this mysterious ish. So apparently, all night long, no one is able to strike the other decisively. Suddenly, at alos hashachar, that is when the ish, the Sar Shel Esav, is able to do Yaakov some harm. And then, pasuk chaf zayin, soon as he manages to strike Yaakov, Vayomer Shalcheni ki Allah Hashachar, I've got to go now. Time to run. It's dawn. So what you see from these first three psukim is that this ongoing struggle seems to be indecisive, and suddenly at Alos Hashachar, that's when Yaakov suffers that blow that the Sar Shel Esav inflicts upon him. But look now in source number two, just a few psukim later, a mere few psukim later, after the Sar Shel Esav blesses Yaakov by giving him the name Yisrael, Sar Shel Esav takes leave of Yaakov, and then in Pasuk Lamed Beis, source number two, we are told, Vayizrach lo hashemesh, the sun shines for Yaakov, kasher avar es Penuel, as he crosses by or passes by this place that he named Penuel, v'hut soleh al yirecho, and he was limping as a result of his injury. So Rashi there in source number three on that pasuk is troubled. What's pshat vayizrach lo hashemesh? The sun shone for him. What do you mean? If it's sunrise, the whole world is, at least in that hemisphere, is benefiting from the sunrise. Why vayizrach lo hashemesh? So Rashi initially says, well, that's just a manner of speech. The sun was shining for us. But then Rashi quotes a medrash agada. Vayizrach lo, what does the word lo indicate? Litzarko. That the sun was shining specifically for Yaakov's benefit. Lirapos es tzal aso, to cure his limp. So taking all these psukim with Rashi together, what we see emerges here is that this struggle that Yaakov is having with Sar Shel Esav, which we know from Svarim, Sar Shel Esav represents the Satan, the Yetzahara, the Sitra Achara, the forces of Tumah, the forces of temptation, of evil. This Sar Shel Esav is struggling with Yaakov indecisively all night long. Suddenly comes Alos HaShachar, dawn, and a decisive or semi-decisive blow is finally landed on Yaakov. And yet a mere, whatever it is, an hour or so later, sunrise, and the sun shines to cure Yaakov from his limp. So what is meant, what is the message here? That by night, Yaakov seems to be immune to the struggles of Sar Shel Esav. By day, apparently also, that injury inflicted by Sar Shel Esav is now cured, it is gone. Just during that Alos HaShachar to sunrise period, that one in-between period from dawn till sunrise, that's when Yaakov suffers this injury that Sar Shel Esav inflicts upon him. So there's something strange about that. What's the message that is meant to be conveyed by this story in general, but in particular that the injury suffered by Yaakov is just during that in-between period from Alosa Shachar until sunrise? That's the question to pose first for this evening. So, as a fascinating suggestion in terms of what the lesson here is, Rav Eliyahu Schlesinger of Gilo in his Sefer Zos HaTorah suggests the following. And he suggests that we know that, as I described before, this struggle represents the struggle of Yaakov Avinu or of every Jew with the Satan, with the Yetzirah, with Sar Shel Esav. So what then is the message here that between Alos HaShachar and sunrise, that's when this injury afflicted Yaakov, not before, not after? So he suggests, very interestingly as follows, he bases this idea on a Chasam Sofer. But he says the following. He says, in halacha, or even in nature, what is it that distinguishes that period of dawn to sunrise from the night that preceded it and from the day that follows it? What's unique about that period from dawn to sunrise? What's unique about it is that whereas during the dark of night, it is clearly night. There is no two ways about it. When it's dark at night, it is only night. When it's bright by day, it is certainly only day. The Alos HaShachar to sunrise period is that somewhat in-between stage where it's sort of neither here nor there. It's getting lighter. It's still a little dark. The sun hasn't come up yet. It's not really visible yet. The rays are starting to appear above the horizon. You're in an in-between stage, kind of a neither here nor there stage, much like we say by Ben HaShemashos in the evening between sunset and nightfall. It's a Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Lila, kind of in between halachic reality. Is it day? Is it night? It's neither this, neither that. Something in between. Neither here nor there. So the same is true, suggests Rabbi Schlesinger, again based on a Chasam Sofer, when it comes to this period described here in the Pesukim, from Alos HaShachar until sunrise. That it's that in-between stage, an in-between stage. So what's the message then? Why would the Torah be telling me that Yaakov suffered an injury inflicted at the hands of Sar Shel Esav only during that in-between stage between night and day? So he suggests the following, and he cites a fascinating comment from the Vilna Gaon, and this is quoted in Sefer Kol Eliyahu. Look at source number four. Source number four is the Pasuk in Parashas Bereishis, where God is addressing Cain after Cain has killed his brother Hevel. Perek Dalet Pasuk Zion. And in Dalet Zion, so just before he killed Hevel, correction, just before he killed Hevel, when Cain is upset that his carbon was not accepted by God, and the Pasuk it says, Halo imtetiv se'es, if you do good, halom tetiv, if you do good, seis, then it will be you will succeed, you'll be left alone. Halom tetiv seis. But vim lo tetiv, if you don't do good, then la pesach chatos rovetz. So what does that phrase, La Pesach Chatos Rovetz, mean? La Pesach, by the opening, Chatos, sin, Rovetz, crouches. So God is telling Cain, why are you so annoyed, so angry, so upset your carbon wasn't accepted? As if you do good, fine. Halom Tetiv says, if you do good, fine. But if you don't do good, La Pesach Chatos Rovetz, sin will be crouching by the entrance, by the opening. What's the message there? So the Kol Eliyahu cites the Vilna Gaon, says as follows, here in source number 5. And this is, I guess, you could say is a Yisod in Avodas Hashem. Says the following. He writes, like a few lines into the paragraph here, says, Yesh lefarish, you can explain like this. Ki hinei ein liyetzer hara shlita al ha'adam lahatoso miderach hatov. The Yetzirah will never succeed in diverting someone from the good path. Ki'im b'makom sheyesh pesach pesuach lefanav. Unless there is an entranceway, an opening for him to take advantage of. Upirtsa omeid negdo. And there is an opening right in front of him. Kimlitzas chazal, like the Gemara says, pirtsa kore leganov. You leave your front door wide open, you're basically inviting the thief to come on in and do as he pleases. But sono, this means shahadavar sha'ala al rucho la soso la Hashem. What God was telling Kayan here is that which you thought to do for God, odenu haya belibo, outside hasafik im la soso olo. Yeah, you were still kind of weighing in your own mind, should I not? Velibo lo nachon imo. But you weren't really fully into it. So if that's what's going to happen, az makom lahayetzer lavo lehistarer olav al yidei pesachahu. Then you're essentially opening the door for the Yetzirah to come in and control you. Val nikla, and very easily, yachriya enu lotzon hara, he's going to divert you to the bad way. So the Vilna Gaon is interpreting la pesach, when you open the door, when you leave some sort of opening, meaning you're not sure, should I not, you're wavering, will I do the right thing or not? Chatas rovets, the chatas, the Yetzirah is waiting there to jump in as soon as that door is opened. But rather he says, lo kein im ha'adam daito or tzono shalem ito, betamim im Hashem. But if a person is fully on board, so to speak, he is full speed ahead, unquestionably committed to do what God wants, then says Vilna Gaon, there is not even the possibility of the Yetzirah getting in the door to turn you to the other direction. And so the Vilna Gaon is telling us very simply, the Yetzirah is only going to succeed if there is, as he senses, a doubt on the part of the individual he's seeking to tempt. If a person is wavering, is not so strong in his commitment, questioning, should I not? Yetzirah is going to jump on the guy and push him in the other direction. If a person begins and says, I'm focused and this is the way it's going to be, there's no other way about it. Fully focused, fully committed, fully determined, fully confident, fully certain about that's what he's going to do and nothing else, Yetzirah doesn't even have a chance to get through the door. That's the basic yesod in Avodas Hashem, says the Vilna Gaon, on this pasuk, La Pesach Chatos Rovets. And so, Rav Schlesinger suggests this might be as well pshat in the following pasuk. I seem to have omitted this, presumably by error. But when Chava confronts the Nachash in Parshas Bereishis, and she tells the Nachash, well, God said about these trees in the middle of the Garden of Eden, what does she tell him? She quotes God's instructions as follows. She says, and this is in Bereishis Perek Gimel, she tells the Nachash, I'll read it out loud, from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, don't eat it and don't touch it. And then the words she uses are pen timusun. Pen timusun. Pen implies lest, perhaps, maybe. If you eat from the fruit of the eitz that's in the middle of the garden of Eden, Besochagan, pentimusun, you might die. Says Rav Schlesinger, you might die. Oh, you might die? You're doubting it? You're not so sure? You're not convinced of the consequences that they're going to be sure to follow if you commit this avera? Oh, then I'll hone in on you and I'll get you to do it. If you say pen and you betray a slight doubt of the consequences that might follow, then the Nachash is going to drive to get Chava to sin. Pentimusun. And therefore suggests of Schlesinger here as well. What's the message? Now come back to our question. Why did Yaakov suffer that injury only during that period of time from dawn to sunrise? Because that period of time is the neither here nor there period. It's that questionable. Is it day? Is it night? I'm not really sure. I can go either way. Oh, that's when Yaakov suffers the injury inflicted by Sar Shel Esav. When is Yaakov most vulnerable, most liable to be injured by the Yetzirah, by the Satan? When Yaakov, in the global, broader peoplehood sense, Bnei Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael, are in that in-between period of, I'm not sure, maybe yes, maybe no, which way will I go? Then you're vulnerable to the Sar Shel Esav, diverting you off the path of the Derech HaTov. So that's lesson number one. Very, very fascinating suggestion. Now, a second lesson here to be derived from this story as well. Because that, I guess you say, is Muslim message number one from the story of Yaakov and the Sar Shel Esav. Muslim message number two is the following. Source number six. The Sar Shel Esav tells Yaakov, "Vayomer lo Yaakov ye'omer od shimcha. Your name shall no longer be called Yaakov, ki yim Yisrael, rather Yisrael. Why? Ki sarisa im Elohim v'im anoshim vatuchal. Because, says the Sar Shel Esav, you have struggled, wrestled with im Elohim. Who is that referring to? Presumably with the angel. Elohim can refer to an angel. So you've wrestled with an angel. That's one. Pashup Shat. Now Unklus says it means you've wrestled before God. He views it as a reference to actual Elohim, El Kadosh Baruch Hu. But one interpretation might be you've wrestled with the angel, meaning Sar Shel Esav himself. And then the im anoshim. And who is the anoshim? You've wrestled with people. So, the people here, Rashi already indicates, is a reference to Esav. So, Rav Shimshon Pinkus asks, if we're referring to the struggles that Yaakov has encountered with the Sar Shel Esav, okay, that just happened. The struggle he's going to encounter in the future with Esav, well, that's about to happen. Esav is on his way. They're about to meet up. So why would you say then, Batuchal, and you have succeeded in overcoming in each of those struggles? The Sar Shel Esav you've already just encountered. You've overcome him. But Esav you have not yet encountered. Why say Batuchal? Why say that you have already succeeded? So Pinkus quotes the following famous thought from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik of Brisk, who said the following. Pasuk says in Tehillim, source number 7, Va'ani v'chastecha v'tachti. David says, I have trusted, I've had bitachon in your chesed, God. Yogel libi bishua secha. My heart will rejoice with your salvation. Says Rav Chaim, that implies that I'm already rejoicing merely because I have bitachon in your chesed and in your Yeshua's Hashem that is yet to come. Right? I have bitachon in your chesed that will be yet to come. And already as a result of that bitachon, I experience the joy of your Yeshua's Hashem. Hasn't happened yet. But my bitachon in the chesed to come enables me to rejoice as of now. But the second half of the pasuk is Ashira Lashem. When do I actually sing Shira? Only Kigamal Aloy, once the nes, the kindness, actually occurs. So Chaim deduces in this pasuk just that very simple thought, that the pasuk seems to be saying, bitachon in future Yeshua Hashem, in future chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is already cause for yagel libi, for rejoicing, for simcha. When does one engage in actual shira? That you hold off until the nes actually occurs, till the Yeshua Hashem actually happens. Okay, fair enough. So, Rav Meir Soloveitchik asked on this shot of Rav Chaim as follows. Look in this story in Divrei Hayamim. Divrei Hayamim Beis, Parak Chaf, source number 8. The Navi there describes how during the times of Yehoshaphat, HaMelech, the Bnei Yehuda and the residents of Yerushalayim were encountering a serious threat of war at the hands of Ammon and Moab. And they were terrified of the huge enemy soldiers gathering and massing against them. And the Navi describes how the Navi got up and said in Pasuk Yitzayin, don't worry, lo lachem lehi lachem bazos, you're not going to have to do this battle. Hisyatzvu, stand firm, imdu, stand, uru'u, and you shall see, as Yeshua Hashem imachem, the salvation of God upon you, Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, al tiru, al techatu, don't be afraid. Tomorrow you'll go out before your enemy, God will take care of it, God's going to fight for you, nothing to worry about. Trust in God, it's going to be okay. And Pasuk Geches tells us that Yehoshaphat, upon hearing that news, and Yehuda and the Yoshua Yerushalayim fell before God to bow before God. And Pasuk Yates, what do we see? The Levim get up. La Halel, La Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Bekol Gadol Lamala. To praise and sing to God. So, what's the obvious question? You just told me, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, that in the Pasuk, Vani Bechas Techa Vatachti Yogel Libi Bishua Secha. Yeah, Bitachon in future Yeshua Hashem brings Simcha. But a Shira La Hashem, when does the actual Shira occur? That's only Kigamal Alai, after the salvation actually happens. So, but now in Divrei Hayamim, and I guess it's got to be a Merah Soloveitchik to know Psukim and Divrei Hayamim that well to ask such a Lamed Hashayla. Divrei Hayamim, you see that the Levim, the Bnei Kohas, the Bnei Korach, they sang Shira, they sang Hallel already before it happened. They were just informed, don't worry, it's all going to be okay. They already sang Shira. Doesn't that mean you can sing Shira before the Nes actually occurs? So what's the pshat? So the Biskrov answered of Meir Soloveitchik as follows. So there's a basic distinction. What's the basic distinction? David Melch is referring to Bitachon. You have Bitachon in Yeshua Hashem. Okay, when the Yeshua actually occurs, then you sing Shira. What happened here in the Navi? This wasn't just a case of Bitachon. There's more than that. Namely, it was an actual prophecy. The Navi got up and said, here is the word of God to you. Here's the message I've been told to convey to you. This is what God said. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. It wasn't just the standard Bitachon that we all have or should have whenever we encounter a tzara. It was an actual Navi speaking to them, saying, God told me to tell you it's going to be fine. A Nevuah, it's as good as if it happened already. It's as if it happened already. You can already sing Shir right now because the Nevuah makes it as if the Yeshua Hashem already occurred. It's as good as done. Correct. It's as good as done. So using that same idea that there are some occasions when something that has happened is as good as done. The word of the Navi promising a Yeshua Hashem is as if the Yeshua Hashem occurred already. So now come back to our question. Why would the Malach of Esav say to Yaakov that you will wrestle with Anoshim such as Esav and you already overcame them? What happened already to make it as good as done that Yaakov would succeed in his struggle with Esav? Something happened to foreshadow that future success that makes it as good as done already. What was it that happened? The Pasuk says it. Kisarisa im Elohim v'im Anoshim atuchal. You've already wrestled with the Sashal Esav, and that was successful. So if that was successful, then you can be assured, as of now, as good as done, that you'll be successful with wrestling with Esav as well. As once you've wrestled successfully with the Sarshal Esav, then you can be already assured that you'll wrestle successfully with Esav also. And therefore you can already count that as if it's as good as done. And that's an interesting Musar as well, I think, because if the Sarshal Esav represents the Yetzirah, and we're speaking to someone who doubts the outcome of a future struggle, of a future temptation, a future battle, we're telling him, you've done this already. You've been down this path before. You've already encountered the Yetzirah on numerous occasions, and you've succeeded. Maybe not every time, but you certainly have many a time succeeded. That means you have the capacity to win in this battle. You have the capacity to do well, and to succeed, and to come out on top. And therefore, you can have the confidence going into the future battles of the Yetzirah that you'll succeed in those as well. So the Sarshal Esav struggle with Yaakov is perhaps then seen again more in a broader sense for Klal Yisrael to tell us that this struggle has already happened in a certain sense. Yaakov came out on top. Klal Yisrael has that koach and that ability, and each individual Jew has that ability to overcome and overpower the Sarshal Esav, the Yetzirah, the temptation. A person should never be scared off by how am I going to survive all of these nisyonos and whatever context that might come up in and whatever one's personal concerns might be. An Isayon of the Yetzirah in this context or in that context. We tell the person, Kisarisa im Elohim ve'im Anoshim Atuchal. You've already successfully encountered, struggled with, and overcome the Yetzirah, the Sarshal Esav, in various forms and in various contexts. And therefore, you have that bitachon and that guarantee, that confidence that you can do so again going forward. That perhaps is the second, if you will, Avodas Hashem Musar message taken from this story of the struggle of Yaakov with the Sar Shel Esav. And now one more, second side of the page. One more fascinating Musar message from this story as well. That's as follows. Or maybe just one more. We'll see if I have time for another one beyond that. Pasuk Lamed, source number 9. Vayish'al Yaakov. Yaakov asks the Sar Shel Esav. Vayomer, he says, Hagid Nashemecha, tell me your name. Vayomer, and the Sar Shel Esav says, Lama zeh tish'al l'shmi, why are you asking my name? Vayivarecho Hashem. And the Malach gives Yaakov the bracha, doesn't tell him his name. Okay, very perplexing exchange. Yaakov asks for his name. And he says, why bother asking for my name? And he gives him the bracha. So Rashi comments, source number 10, Lama zeh tish'al, meaning, Ein lanu shem kavua. What the Sar Shel Esav was saying to Yaakov is, why are you asking? Because we don't have one set name. Mishtanin shmosein, our names change. Hakol lefi mitzvas avodas hashlichos. It all depends on the particular mission, sh'anu mishtachim, that we are being given. Okay, we know that. Malachim, their names change based on the mission. Their mission changes based on the time. God sends a malach with a particular mission. His name is tailored to that mission. And that's what the Sar Shel Esav is telling Yaakov. Here, Shimshon Pinkus has the following, again, Musar message. If this is the Sar Shel Esav, the Yitzhar, the Satan, what's he really saying? What he's saying is the following. He's saying the particular challenge or the Yitzharah that a Jew encounters or that Klal Yisrael faces changes with the times. It's one thing in this generation, another thing the next generation. Last generation's Yitzharah is not this generation's Yitzharah. If back in the 1920s, the Yitzhar that was drawing Jews from Judaism was communism. Okay, that's not, hopefully to the same extent, that same Yitzhar and challenge of today. If once upon a time, it was Avodah Zarah way back in the times of Bayashani, that's no longer the Yitzhar of today. Maybe today's Yitzhar is the internet and whatever comes along with it. That wasn't the Yitzhar of last generation. Clearly, didn't have it in those days. And it won't be the Yitzhar of next generation. Whatever the generation is, the Yitzhar is different for that generation. It has a different name with the time. So, Lama zeh tish'al l'shmi. Don't struggle trying to figure out what is the name of the Yitzhar. What is that key challenge I have to struggle to overcome? It's not going to help you, because by the time you determine that the Yitzhar of the 1920s is communism, you'll already be now dealing with another Yitzhar in decades later. It's not going to help you. The Yitzhar changes based on the time, and there's always another challenge coming up each and every generation that a person has to be ready for, to encounter, to successfully ward off, and to never assume that, oh, I've successfully gotten past the Yitzhar of the last generation, now I'm in the free, I'm in the clear. There's always another challenge that comes up with each and every generation. Now, one last beautiful pshat. And this perhaps talks to the nature of the struggle with Yaakov and Sar Shel Esav in an overall broader sense. So the first few points we've made this evening are more or less about Yetzirah-related tricks, if you will. You know, the first message being, once a Jew wavers between good and bad, the Yetzirah finds him vulnerable. If a person is stark, committed, firmly focused on what he has to do, Yetzirah is unable to penetrate. That was lesson number one. Lesson number two, he said, was based on the fact that it's already a given that we can overcome the Sar Shel Esav and future encounters because we've succeeded in the past with Yetzirah. That means we have the confidence to succeed in the future as well. Lesson number three we just said now is that the Yetzirah challenge changes with the times and the generation. What was last generation's challenge is not today's generation's challenge. And finally now, a much broader thought about what this struggle of Yaakov and Sar Shel Esav is. And this is based on Pasuk Chafei and the Gemara and Kulin Taf Tzadi Aleph and Rashi. In Pasuk Chafei, Rashi tells us, source number 11, Vayvaser Yaakov Levado, Yaakov remained behind. Why? So Rashi quotes the famous Gemara, Shachach Pachim Ketanim V'Chazer Aleim. Yaakov forgot these small little utensils, went back to get them. And of course the question is, Yaakov Avinu is a fabulously wealthy person at this point in time. So he leaves behind a few little trinkets, and he's rushing back to get them. Forget it, Yaakov, move on, who cares, what's the point? And especially see what happened to him. He put himself in danger, going back for a few little trinkets, worthless stuff. What'd you do it for? Does that really matter that much to you? What's the pshat in that Rashi and that Chazal? So many Baal Machshava quotes, Rav Deshler, I think it's Sifsei Chaim, Chaim Friedlander quotes this, in Sefer Ber Yosef of Rav Yosef Salant, whose grandson-in-law was just here this evening. He writes the following, based on the Arizal. He says, what's pshat in Yaakov going back for pachim katanim, for these small little trinkets? The pshat is that, in the words of the Gemara, Sadikim chavivim aleihem mamonam yosem yigufam. The Gemara itself says, apparently you see that Sadikim value their little monetary possessions more than the safety of their own lives, because he put himself at risk, Yaakov, going back for these little trinkets. And that itself is very strange. What does that mean? You value your little trinkets more than your own life? How does that make any sense? So the Pshat says, the Arizal as follows, Sadikim value the small little things that they are given possession of, because they recognize that whatever I have is a bracha from Shemayim, and I shouldn't reject it. Because if I didn't need it, I would not have been given it. The fact that God gave me even this seemingly relatively inexpensive, small, insignificant trinket of whatever it happens to be, means there's a purpose to it. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to use it for the right reasons. That says the Arizal's pshat in Yaakov Avinu. Tzadikim value their money more than their guf, meaning they see in everything they're given something that's been given to them in a Shemayim for a purpose that they can't reject or ignore, but rather they have to utilize it in the proper way. That's why Yaakov went back for these small little trinkets. He saw even in those small little possessions he had, God's hand in giving it to him. It's now fascinating pshat, says Ber Yosef. Source number 12. Vayavek, the pasuk says, Vateka kafiyach Yaakov behe'avko imo. What's behe'avko? So I thought it meant like Vayavik, they wrestled, they struggled. Behe'avko, when he struggled with him. The Gemara darshans as follows. In Chulin, Sadi Aleph and Aleph, the last source in the page, the Gemara darshans, the word Behe'avko means Melamid Shehe'elu Avak Margulosam Ad Kisei HaKavod. They struggled with such force that the dirt kicked up by their feet reached the Kisei HaKavod. Behe'avko, Avak, the dirt of your feet, the dust of your feet. Behe'avko imo, the struggle generated such dirt that they kicked up that it went up to Kisei HaKavod. Now, what does that mean? That's a very puzzling kind of strange phrase, that they struggled and kicked up dirt to Kisei HaKavod. What's pshat? It says the following. He says, the avak raglayim signifies the most seemingly insignificant item you can think of. The dirt of the ground. There's so much of it. Behe'avko imo. And yet, that dirt reached the Kisei HaKavod, meaning that Yaakov Avinu saw even in that which was most insignificant, Yad Hashem as well. Even the Avak Margulosam, the seemingly most insignificant item you come into contact with, Yaakov Avinu saw in that Yad Hashem, Kisei HaKavod. He saw Kadosh Baruch Hu's hand involved in giving him even that seemingly most insignificant. He saw Hashgacha Pratis in everything he had. What were they struggling over? They're struggling over this idea. Would one be capable of seeing Yad Hashem in every aspect of his life, even the seemingly most insignificant? Would somebody dismiss something minor as, just happens to be coincidence, happenstance? Or no, would the Avak Margulosam reach the Kisei HaKavod that Yaakov recognized and was insistent upon seeing his emunah and the hashgach of Yad Hashem, even in the seemingly most insignificant things he came into contact with? And that was what the struggle was all about. By Avik Ishimo, Behe'avko Imo, they're arguing about that yesod, to really see even in the seemingly most insignificant components of my life, the Yad Hashem and the hashgach of Pratis, and seeing in everything I have, emunah b'kadosh baruch hu Yad Hashem. The Sashal Esav is trying to say, don't worry about it. Leave that behind. Leave behind these small pacham katanim. Forget it. You don't need it. It's not important. And Yaakov says, even in that I see Yad Hashem, I see in everything that I have, seemingly most insignificant, Hashgacha Pratis, a purpose in everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives me to utilize it, L'shem Shemayim.